It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark, with me as 89% always.
I'm increasing my value here.
I know, because we're
Steven Brown.
Because it's a Friday night, it's not a Saturday morning with coffee as usually. We got a crazy weekend coming up, so we're squeezing this in Friday night. We were gonna run one of our live podcasts. We had, you know, as we said, we did the Geek Bar,
yep,
and we did ValorCon. Those were ready to go, but people were talking about really two or three things.
Yeah,
we were like, I don't know.
It's should been we another big news week.
Yeah. Well, the first thing, I guess we should talk about Star Wars first.
And that's the biggest, yeah.
And I was initially a little reticent. I was like, man, we covered this. Force Friday was 6 weeks ago, and we spent an hour talking about, hey, here's a trailer. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be like the prequels?
Yeah, because we did the trailer podcast. We did the Force Friday podcast. Didn't we do the announcement podcast, the teaser podcast?
I think we might have. We talked about it a little bit at San Diego. I mean, Star Wars keeps staying in the news, but people have gone insane for the new trailer.
Yeah, in a good and bad ways.
Yeah, so I have it on Facebook. It's been so, people are so crazy about this that Fox News actually interviewed me just about this trailer.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to FoxNews.com. There's a link to it on the Caffeinated Comics page, but they interviewed us. They listed me as a professional podcaster.
There you go.
Did not list the title of the podcast.
Of course not. You know what? That's like, I've been interviewed like twice for like the very local like paper, like the LaGrange, whoever, and every single time, and they're very nice people, they write very nice articles, every single time I misquoted, every single time, and I fucking hate getting misquoted in the newspapers, but I like that I'm able to get misquoted in the newspapers.
Right, yeah, you know, you're just happy that it's there.
That I'm in the newspapers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because you know who else is in the newspapers, John? Spider-Man.
I thought you were going to say Trump.
Oh, yeah, I guess him too. Fuck him, though.
Spider-Man gets misquoted all the time.
All the time.
All the time. He's a menace. Just every, no matter what he says, it's just menace.
It's always bad.
Spider-Man has never ever said, hey, I'm a menace. I'm menacing New York and all the people that live within it. And J. Jonah Jameson is going, wait, let me get that down. You said menace, right?
You said menace. Then you specifically are the menace.
I don't want to get sued by Spider-Man. But yeah, it was, they kind of Fox News my quotes up. I talked to them. I talked to them for like 5 minutes, and because they said, oh, when it comes out of Christmas, will anything, like, will people see any of the Oscar-related pictures? Will people see anything else? And I said, oh, well, you know, all the Middle-earth movies came out. All Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings and Hobbits came out, and they were gigantic, and they did really well. And there were still, you know, other films were nominated for Oscars and won Oscars, and people went and saw them usually after they were nominated. And they said, what do you think it's going to be big? And I said, yeah, I think it's going to be huge because it's just building and building.
Yeah.
And the reason it's coming out at Christmas and not summer is because it's all Disney. Disney was thinking that Age of Ultron was the movie, and they didn't want to compete with themselves. So it's like,
so they spread it out by
year almost. Star Wars took a lot of hits for the prequels, so let's move it to Christmas. It'll be a little less of a season. And then Age of Ultron, you know, made its money, but
you'll notice, too, that the Thor movies and maybe one of the Captain Americas, I think, were Christmas or Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah, Winter Soldier.
All the Marvel
movies
they loaded in the spring because they didn't want to compete with themselves with Marvel and Disney movies coming out at the same time.
Right, you know? And that's the big thing with Disney owning everything.
You won't see Star Wars and Marvel coming out with the same movie in the same month.
Yeah, you'll see Marvel and DC coming out at the same time.
Yeah, they go right head-to-head.
Right, and we're seeing that with Civil War and Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I talked about that, and I talked, and then I said, well, it's building so much, people have such goodwill towards it that they've forgotten the prequels. And I said, even if it's like Phantom Menace, it should still do really well. And then my quote was like, even if it's terrible, people will go to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have to.
Because everything has to be scary and terrible and awful.
Yeah, Fox News will dial up your anger. No matter what. Fox News is the gamma radiation of media. Like, no matter what you do, they will dial up the anger until it's destructive.
Calling it a news organization is generous at this point.
Well, the hardest part about that was waiting to see when it would post.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be fast, so I kept refreshing the Fox News page, and then I kept having to read their take on, like, the Hillary Clinton hearing.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is hard. But, you know, but I got in Fox News, and I mentioned the podcast, and that's cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just another place we've been. We've been in a lot of places in the last month.
Yeah, we've had a busy month.
But the trailer itself, each trailer keeps winning me over.
And yeah, they show, like, millions of people have watched that trailer by now. Like, it's been watched, like, 224 million times.
I think it was, like, 9 million people in an hour.
Yeah.
Because it came out Monday night. It came out during the NFL game. And everybody was joking that, you know, that you had to watch nerds finally had to watch football.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, real nerds wait for it to come out online. And right. Within 2 minutes, it was online. And when I refreshed it, it was like 1 million, 2 million, 3 million.
Wow.
It went crazy. And I was in the middle of watching Gotham because I like to make fun of it.
Yeah.
And I was actually waiting for the new X-Files commercial, which they premiered during Gotham.
Yeah.
Which looks great, but it wasn't really a jump forward from the last X-Files commercial.
Yeah, it's more of the same type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come out in January. It's every time they show it, it looks great. But so I saw it online. But man, I've been talking for months about how I've been cautiously optimistic, and you know, I've learned
those Phantom Menace burns run deep.
Yeah, you know, I learned my lesson from Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
and you know what? Clone Wars never pulled me in, and Rebels never pulled me in. I never watched any of the shows, and I've always been a lapsed. I'm a Star Wars fan in the way I'm Catholic.
Right, there you go.
I haven't practiced.
Thing you had to do as a kid.
Yeah, and I haven't practiced in a very long time. But when I was a kid, I believed everything told me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't know. You seem to have hurt people sometimes.
You're not all good.
No.
All you've been promised to be. Yeah, it's definitely, I think, the amount of customers at the store, the buzz around this movie from, like, I guess, like, a real world, like, all the customers are crazy about it. It's
you guys are going to do a promotion, too.
Yeah, we're teaming up with Hollywood Boulevard to do a Thursday screening for it, and we're giving away the tickets during the weekend of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Comic Book Shop Sunday, which is a thing, I guess. It's like the whole weekend.
That's
so if you make any purchase at any of your local Camaras Comics, you automatically get entered into the raffle to get free tickets. But yeah, it's everyone seems to be excited. And I mean, Stu was telling me that it crashed, like, the ticket selling websites, like,
Fandango crashed
because people were
looking
for
the tickets.
Well, I
saw a lot of people, Kurt Wood, who helps run all Yeah Comics, who's a good friend of ours, was freaking out on Facebook. He was like, I can't get my tickets. And I'm like, it's going to be in every movie theater.
Yeah.
Every half an hour.
Right.
I'm also at the age where I'm done with midnight movies.
I hate watching things at midnight premieres.
Well, you know, I learned my lesson from The Hobbit: Unexpected Journey. It is not a movie to watch when you're tired.
Yeah, it has its slow bits.
No, I had this. That was our first ever podcast. Actually, was reviewing that movie. That's how long. That's when our.
That's
podcast
how long
started.
Ago that came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
3
God.
Years ago. Well, they finished that trilogy, so that's
yeah,
at least 2 years.
I didn't even finish it. I don't think.
My dad just did, and he was very upset.
Yeah.
And I warned him. I was like, yeah, Battle of Five Armies, not that good. But, and then he called me, and he's like, oh, I finished that Hobbit. Oh, that was terrible.
That's your dad's great.
Yeah, he's been on the show. And he's the guy who introduced me to Tolkien, so it
yeah.
was really disheartening. Like, you know, he had really old editions of the books, which I now have. I've inherited those.
Yeah.
And like, we love Middle Earth and Lord of the Rings. I took him to each one of those films, and it was like a bonding moment because we don't watch sports together.
Yeah.
He doesn't really leave the house.
Right.
He came here once. I put him right on the podcast.
He's a recluse.
He is. He's a hermit. And he's very proud of it. He was very disappointed. But that first movie, we did a midnight screening, and I went with Joe Pakovitz. And my main memory of that is I fell dead asleep in the middle of that film.
Yeah,
and
it's not a good thing.
Well, the moment when the part when the goblins attack, they're all asleep, and then the floor gives way, And then Thorin shouts, "Wake up!" That woke me up.
Yeah.
Because somebody yelled, "Wake up!" at me. But after that, like, Joe and I were driving home, and now it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And because that's a long movie, and we just looked at each other, we're like, we're not doing this anymore.
Never again.
It's not fun.
It's not. And I think that's my big point with it, too, is, you know, they do these... They show them earlier and earlier on Thursdays now. At some point, these movies are going to be like Wednesday midnight releases. Yeah,
Monday.
You know, and it's like, just wait, you know, just go see it. I'd rather go see it like Friday at like 10 in the morning at like the first show for half price than see it Thursday at midnight and, you know, be all
Well, that's what I always do whenever we review these movies because we rarely get screeners. Sometimes we get to go to preview screenings. But usually we're just going to a multiplex and paying the cost of the movie.
Yeah.
And I honestly like to get a full night's sleep on Friday and go at like noon on Saturday, and I'll take Ben, and sometimes you come with me if we have the time, we'll see it together. Like, yeah. Ant-Man was the three of us.
Yeah, I think we saw it with Ben, right? No.
We did. We took Ben to that, yeah. And in fact, the rest of my family hasn't seen it because the Blu-ray doesn't come out till
I see that twice.
December, early December is Ant-Man.
But yeah, I don't know. I really think this... the amount of views for these trailers, crashing websites, this is going to break every record for every movie.
I think it'll be the biggest Christmas opening ever. I don't know.
It just has to do Titanic numbers, right?
It has to do Lord of the... Yeah, Titanic's pretty big. That was a Christmas movie.
No, but I'm saying, what's the biggest movie of all time?
It was Avengers 1, I think.
Did that win? I thought Titanic was still number one, or Avatar or something. I think it's Avatar and Avengers is 2.
Avatar beat it. I thought Avengers beat it. And the other thing, it's never fair because they don't count amount of tickets sold. They count amount of money, and the prices keep going up.
That's true.
So, you know, they said if you adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind would still completely win.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is totally going to set a bajillion records because, like you said, it's the hype is getting, it's just building and building and building and building. And, like, people are losing their minds.
They really are. A lot of people posting on the site are just so... super excited about it. In fact, the band I'm playing in, I was talking with the guitarist last night about it.
Yeah.
And he's very excited about it. And I said what I've been saying on the podcast. I'm like, I hope it's going to be good, but I've seen a lot of bad Star Wars movies. And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, Lucas is not involved and J.J. Abrams is involved. And I'm like, I've seen a lot of J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah.
And some of them are great.
I think...
And, you know, I always bring up that... For Star Trek is fantastic.
Yes.
And Star Trek Into Darkness is not good. But, you know, like, Super 8's not that great. You know, some of his other films aren't the best.
Yeah, I'm thinking if he can do Star Trek, he can do Star Wars. That, like, makes sense to me.
And he likes Star Wars more than he likes Star Trek. He even said that when he made Star Trek, which got him into trouble.
Yeah.
Was he was like, I don't really like Star Trek. I like Star Wars. And Trekkies were like, boo! And now we have a Star Trek 3, which is being directed by Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, but I think that's the other thing, too, is he's only doing the first one. Maybe he's a real good launching guy. He's good at bringing you back, reestablishing all the things, setting it up.
And I think that's a good point because, you know, he directed the pilot of Lost. And Lost starts very, very well.
Yeah. It doesn't, maybe he's just not a good finisher.
Yeah. He doesn't have a big closer.
No.
So, yeah, people... But this trailer in particular, I feel like we get a little more in depth than we got at San Diego.
Yes.
We get a little more into the characters. We see... and I'm going to say right off the bat, I don't know that much... about this because I'm trying to stay spoiler free.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the same. I don't want to watch. I really wouldn't want to see another trailer. I'm good with this. This is enough for me.
So if I say the girl and the black guy, it's because I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I don't
learn.
Even know their names.
I don't really know
That's
their
how
names
I'm going
either.
To speak
yeah,
of them.
But we see a lot of. See, I think one of them is named Finn, and I don't know who it is.
Finn and Jake.
Yeah, exactly. One of them is Finn, and I think the soccer ball droid is Jake.
There you go. He does kind of look like Jake. He's a little orange guy.
And he keeps going, hey, man, what's going on? Wouldn't it be great if he talked like that?
He's very encouraging.
Yes.
He doesn't beep.
No, so I'm definitely going to be doing more descriptions, because this is a movie I want to go into blank, and usually I don't care, because usually something's an adaptation.
Yeah.
So Civil War, I'm like... Yeah, you can tell me whatever you want about Civil War, because I've read Civil War, and I know you're not going to adapt it, but you're going to take your cues from it, and then I'll be like, well, how do you do that? Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, I've read the books.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how do you do this? But Star
this
Wars,
totally
we're
made
totally
up.
In uncharted waters, further away than we were from the prequels, because we knew Anakin was going to turn into Darth Vader.
Yeah, this is very, very all new. No one's really going to be able to see kind of what's coming. And I've heard spoilers and things, but...
And a lot of fan theories, a lot of conspiracy
yeah,
theories.
Yeah, and, you know, some of that shit, this is like, somebody posted, I can't remember what it was, but it was an article about how, like, some spoilery slash theory... was going to be, and I can't remember exactly what it was, because I, like, immediately was like, fuck, and, like, tried to purge my mind,
right.
like a hard drive, and it was like, blah, 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 spoiler, 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 article on Facebook, and it's like, why does the heading of the article leak a potential spoiler for this movie? Like, and I'm like, blacked whoever it was.
You know why? Because what happens next will amaze you.
I hate that shit. And it's so frustrating because it's like, there are people that don't want this movie to be spoiled, and these people are doing everything they can to figure out how this movie works, and it's like, just to be the guy that'd be like, I said it, I called it, and it's like, no, fuck you, dude. Stop with your theories. Let me just enjoy this movie
right.
as you're supposed to enjoy movies.
Well, because we don't really get movies that are completely original, and even when they're sequels to a franchise.
Yeah.
The last one was maybe Jurassic World, but Jurassic World wasn't following the same characters. It was
right.
It was more of like, we're going to let dinosaurs eat people again, but how are we going to do that?
Exactly, yeah.
So people
there's not a lot of story there other than here's a thing.
No,
things
it
are
wasn't
gonna go wrong.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs are going to eat things.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's well, Jurassic Park is based on more of a horror movie formula. It's
yeah.
just not as scary as a horror movie. It's like seeing another Nightmare on Elm Street. You're like, don't tell me if Freddy comes back.
Yeah, it's yeah. You know the dinosaurs are gonna get out.
Does,
you know?
Does somebody go to sleep in the new Nightmare on Elm Street? I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Maybe Freddy never shows up. But that's more of like, let's run the formula again. This is actually taking a mythology which we all considered closed. You know, even though
yeah.
the animated series were kind of living in between the established movies.
This is Han Solo, man. It's like, you know what
he's
I mean?
He's in it, and Han Solo says it's all true.
Yeah.
I saw a great, I've seen a ton of gifs and memes now, and I saw a great meme where it says it shows him and says his line, it's all true, the dark side, the Jedi, and comparing that with, it's a lot of supernatural.
Oh, yeah,
focus
I saw
and
the
nonsense.
Same one, yeah.
And then I saw a great one where he says it's all true, and then they show the new cast going, even the part where Greedo shoots first, and then he goes, get out.
Get out. The other one I saw was, it's all true, blah, 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 except that part where Leia kissed her brother. That didn't happen.
Yeah, but it's...
So that's all well and good, and that's the positive side of what's all great about a movie like this is its excitement. People feel like they're kids again, blah, blah,
people
blah,
people love
blah,
the
blah.
New characters. Everybody loves BB-8, the soccer ball droid.
Yeah.
And I know the... BB-8 is the one new character I really know the name of.
Yeah.
Because everybody's so excited about it. I've seen so many articles that are like, BB-8, BB-8, BB-8. Well, one of our listeners actually explained how BB-8 worked
yeah,
to me.
Yeah,
which, thank you so much for doing that, because the last time we talked about it, I was like, how does this head stay
how
on?
How does it work?
I was losing my damn mind.
Yeah,
but
I've seen
it's a gyroscope with a magnet. It totally makes sense.
And, Nick bought it.
Yeah.
And he had it at the Woodridge store, and it's awesome. This thing is, like, probably, it has to be the coolest toy for
I kind of want it.
You should get it.
And as much as I don't want to, jump into this too deeply, and
you have an addiction problem. Maybe you shouldn't go too deep.
I have a
in.
Figure addiction problem, and I've given up my Star Wars toys, sort of. I have a lot of 3¾ figures, maybe 100 out of the 6 movies,
yeah,
all from the 90s up. I gave them to Ben, but Ben is not a big Star Wars fan,
not yet.
Well,
wait till this movie comes out.
I know.
Out.
I asked him if he wanted to see this movie, he's like, maybe. I put on the Blu-rays of all 6 of the Star Wars movies. He's never finished a
How
single one
Ben?
Of them. He's 8.
He's but- 8. When Star Wars comes out, there is not an 8-year-old on this planet that has access to a movie theater that won't be a fan of Star
when
Wars.
When I was 8, Empire Strikes Back was in the movie theater,
yeah.
and I had already been obsessed with Star Wars.
Yes.
Like, I've said it on
That's
the show before,
saying.
When Star Wars came out, Batman ceased to exist for me.
Yeah.
And Batman did not exist again until The Dark Knight Returns, which was 3 years after Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, there is a black hole in my geekdom that was filled with...
And it's just
Star Wars. And, like, a little space there for Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
That was, like,
you
the late
70s. You got burned real bad with those prequels.
I, I was older then, so I kind of took them as movies.
Yeah.
But this trailer is like, it's pulling the heartstrings. You know, they bring up the John, there's new John Williams music that sounds like the old John Williams music. And John Williams is maybe the only guy of that generation that hasn't lost a step. Like he, when he writes a score for something,
he knows what he's,
yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's Star Wars, it sounds like Star, like Crystal Skull sounded like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
The prequels were the only thing that felt like Star Wars to me in those prequels is the music.
It's like the one thing they got right.
Yeah, he did all the Harry Potters, and they had that, he has that feel.
You know him like instantly as soon as you hear like a note of the music.
And you hear it.
I know where that belongs.
Yeah, and they're tugging on the heartstrings with this.
Yeah, they really are.
And yeah, I mean, I'm extrapolating what I'm believing. I'm liking the new characters a lot, and I'm just seeing glimpses of them. The girl who I believe is Han and Leia's daughter, fantastic casting. Because not only is she gorgeous, in the way that I like gorgeous women to be gorgeous,
she's your particular brand.
She's
of
my
gorgeous.
Particular brand of gorgeous. She's like Hayley Atwell and Jamie Alexander, kind of mixed in one.
Yeah,
those are my favorite Marvel girls.
Yeah,
but she also looks like Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Natalie Portman. So she looks like a Skywalker.
Yeah. Or a Solo.
Well, yeah, but...
Well, technically, yes.
Skywalker on her mother's side.
That's true.
So so she looks like she's carrying on the legacy.
Yeah.
And then he... I know the actor's name is Boyaga, but the... He might be named Finn. Somebody's named Finn in this.
Somebody's named
Finn. Somebody. But the black guy who's a stormtrooper, and then he's going around in, like, Luke's jacket in this.
Yeah.
He looks... pretty awesome, and it looks like he switches sides in the movie. I don't know. Don't want to know.
Yeah, I guess as early as we could tell, it looks like the trailer, he crash lands on, like, Tatooine or something, and then, like, and by the end of the trailer, he's running around with, like, Luke Skywalker and, like, running around with, like, an X-Wing
pilot.
Yeah,
that girl, yeah.
And it's
yeah, who's played by Oscar Isaac. So it seems like the three of them are going to be our main characters for this trilogy.
Yeah. Who's Oscar Isaac's playing?
Oscar Isaac's playing the X-Wing pilot.
Okay, so just like a regular X-Wing pilot?
I don't know.
I think, and I could be wrong, Star Wars nerds out there would have to correct me. In the newest trailer, it looks like one of the X-Wing pilots is like one of the old X-Wing pilots. Mm. Like one of the fatter X-Wing pilots from like
Porkin? No, he died. He died Porkin in the Death Star.
But I think one of the other guys, I'm like, oh, that looks just like, I'm good with faces.
Maybe it's Wedge. You are good with faces. We often tell the story
I
want to
look it up.
I went into your store about a year before we met, and then... this was when you worked in another store before you started Chimeras. And then when I went to Chimeras, you went, I know you.
Yeah.
And I walked in, I bought Daredevil Man Without Fear, walked out, didn't freaking talk to you.
I might have said, like, hey, how's it going? Did you find everything okay? That's my, like, spiel.
That's what you say to everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I probably said that.
That's like the way you answer the phone.
Yeah. I'm very autopilot a lot.
Yeah. Except here.
I try not to be. I'm not trying to phone it
in. This is an actual conversation.
Yeah.
But there are some, but going back to this new character, Oscar Isaac's also, before we get into that, because that's a big fucking kettle of worms we got to open up.
We're about to open up a kettle of worms, folks.
Oscar Isaac's not only plays, his name's like Poe Biadon, or I don't know, it's very George Lucas-y. I don't know the names of these guys, but Oscar Isaac's is also going to be Apocalypse in the next X-Men film.
Oscar Isaac's was in, most recently I saw him in Ex Machina, which is a really messed up.
Oh, that was your greatest thing in the world a couple weeks ago.
Yes, you know. Great movie.
He was also in the last Coen Brothers movie, which I really liked a lot.
Which was that called?
Inside Llewellyn Davis.
I didn't see that.
He plays a folk singer, and he was really good in it.
Did you see 10 Things I Hate About You?
I saw bits of it on Comedy Central 15 years ago. All I know about that is Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt are in it, and then that... that one girl with the pinchy face who was in everything at that time.
And then that doesn't make movies anymore. Oscar Isaacs was in that movie as a nerd who rides a bicycle down a hill and crashes into a bush. He's like a Jewy nerd that like makes a thing. Like he comes up with a whole scheme.
Oh, that sounds
with
like,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
That sounds and I think like he's a actually horrible a stereotype
Jewish,
is what it
Well, I think he's
like.
Actually a Jewish character. I wasn't trying to be racist. But speaking of racism.
No, but the screenwriters might have been.
They might have been. Probably. But speaking of racism, that's probably the strangest thing about this trailer.
The hashtag boycott Star Wars. Please don't
and I
use the hashtag boycott
really,
Star Wars.
I really thought that this was like a joke, like the internet was being ironic. But apparently this is like a real thing. And for those of you that don't know, it's basically they're saying it's that this new Star Wars is like racist against white people, which is impossible, which we can get into in a minute.
Right.
You can't be racist against the people running the world. Yeah. It's not possible. So, but then it's like, because the main guy in the movie is a black guy, and the second character in the movie is a woman. But then it's like, boycott Star Wars, but not because it's like white racism, but because it's white straight men racism.
Well,
and it's like, it's so ridiculous. It sounds like a joke every time I try to explain it.
Yeah, every time I see boycott Star Wars, I think of two words.
George Lucas.
Lando Calrissian. There was a black guy in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
How about Samuel L. Jackson in the prequels? How about the voice of Darth Vader?
Yeah, exactly. The Darth Vader is voiced by a black guy, and
I have news for you. There's not a lot of them, but there are black guys all over Star Wars.
And that's the thing, too, is we've talked before on the show, so Star Wars is a bit sexist for, like, Princess Leia being the only girl in the entire universe.
Yeah, and Padme's the only girl in the prequels.
Yeah.
And then
so it's not like they're probably going in the right direction by making it a girl and a black guy, because it's like, yeah, a little diversity, great. Like, it doesn't matter who's running around, because that guy's an alien. The guy over there is a robot person, and we just murdered the monster guy with, you know, the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're all aliens. The black guy isn't even a black guy. He's a black.
He's not from Earth.
He's not African.
No.
You know what I mean?
They've never seen Africa. It's a long time ago, and it's a galaxy far,
yeah,
far away.
So he's not even a person. You know what I mean? He's like he's an alien.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Even if you don't know about James Earl Jones, or you don't notice,
remember Lando
or
Samuel L. Jackson?
But Lando is a huge part of Empire and Jedi.
But he's not the main character. I mean, I'm just trying
He's pretty damn big!
But I think that's what these people are saying.
I don't know.
And I think these people, we'll call them
by
racists.
The way, yes. You know what? Lando has been a thing for a while. Lando has been building as a cult figure for a while, because he is playing pretty much Black Dynamite in Empire Strikes Back. He shows up in a cape.
Yeah, and bell bottoms, I think.
And bell bottoms, and it's 1970s.
And he's wearing like a blue. He took one of Luke Cage's shirts and colored it blue.
Yeah.
He's literally wearing the same blouse.
It's like silk, and it's 1980.
But he pulls it off. He looks so good.
It's 1980 when it comes out, but it's 1979 when he makes it.
Yeah.
He like came from Studio 54. He's got his mustache going. He's got like the he's got the coiffed perm. There's some kind of product in there that they don't make anymore.
Yeah,
and just that whole
he's hitting on Leia.
He's like, you truly belong with us among the clouds. I mean, that's as black as you're gonna get. This new character is not going that black.
No, and I don't, and that's what I don't really understand, is that, like, you know, you saw we all saw the teaser trailer forever ago. Like,
yeah, he was the first shot in the teaser trailer.
And I remember being like, there can't be black stormtroopers, which is like, why not? They need millions.
Because they're all Samoan.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's another thing.
Remember who they were all called
Jango
from.
Fett, not a white guy.
It's totally racism. And, like, I kind of think we're probably headed towards, like, a second American Civil War. I've thought this for, like, a few years, that, like, we're going to have a race war in this country.
You know what? I saw a great, really great, this makes up for the point I forgot a
minute
ago. I saw Colin Quinn has a new special on Netflix.
Yeah.
He has a one-man show. And he discusses that the internet has made America, like, worse, because we didn't have to talk to people who lived in Florida and Georgia.
Oh, now we have to hear
everyone
has a platform. Kim Davis is like a quasi-celebrity for now.
Yeah, he goes, you got to think of America as like a big bar. And everybody's in there, the lights are low, it's a little loud, and people are like, you like cars? It's like, yeah, I like slavery, what? And he goes, and then the internet's like somebody turning on all the lights. And you're like, who's this guy? What am I talking to you? I don't want to be partners with you.
That's kind of what it feels like.
That is what it feels like, is that we're the greatest thing about the internet and the worst thing about the internet is everyone has an equal voice, including people that are racist towards Star Wars because they don't realize that there have been black guys in Star Wars since been Star Wars.
And I don't understand.
Why aren't they getting mad that there are black guys on Star Trek?
Yeah.
Because there have been.
But, like, there's black guys in, like, a lot of movies. And, like, I don't for the life of me understand. And I can't speak about, we're two white men sitting in a room in, like, suburbia. We don't know anything about racism. But, like,
no.
But the, I don't understand where a white person comes from and says, it never occurred to me that movie was anti-white because a black dude was holding, like, a lightsaber. Because it's, like, he's just a dude. Like, who cares? And people
the only people I've...
It's, like, a serious... trending hashtag.
Yes, it's
and
going
it blows
on.
Blows my mind
that the only people that I ever thought were anti-white were these guys that used to have a stage in Times Square and talking about killing whitey, and they had a PA system and they would yell every day. And then Giuliani cleaned it up, and I don't know where they are now. Those are the only people I've ever run into that I thought were anti-white.
Yeah, and I understand. Anti-establishment. I understand, like, wanting equal rights and understanding that there's not equal rights to an extent that I couldn't understand that completely. But what I'm saying is just, like, what I don't understand is from, like, a white person's point of view being, like, there's a war on white people because Captain America's black now.
Right, there's that.
And there's a black guy in Star Wars. And it's like, I keep thinking somebody's gonna be like, oh, no, that was, like, a joke, man. That was a huge joke. Haha, here's the punchline. And it's like, where is the fucking punchline? Because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing that we were going to get into, is that white people were also very upset, and a lot of this came from Fox News, where I'm on today.
Yes.
Is that they're very upset because in the new issue of Captain America, where we haven't talked about Cap in a while, but what Marvel has done is they've taken away the super serum from Steve Rogers. So he's now like a 90-year-old guy.
He's like the age he would have been. He would
if he hadn't been frozen. Yeah.
If he didn't freeze.
Yeah, so he kind of looks like Stanley with no mustache. So he's not Captain America. So Falcon is Captain America. So we have a black Captain America.
And that's been just
about a year?
About a year. So that's Fox News is a little late to the game.
Yeah, it's been about as long as Thor has been a woman.
Yeah, because it came around Marvel's now where, like, Superior Iron Man.
Which is gone already.
Which is already gone because that didn't work. But Jane Foster is Thor. Sam Wilson is Captain America, and they're actually going to put him in a relationship in a month in the new Avengers, which looks awesome. But yeah, Fox News did a story and had we need, like, air quotes for this episode or for all episodes because he quotes a lot. An expert, air quotes, on comic books.
I was an expert on Fox News today.
Yeah, so,
there's your level of expert.
Exactly.
I was a Star Wars expert.
And it's Fox with Friends or something they call it, and they weren't very friendly, I should say.
Oh, those guys are crazy. The only thing I know about Fox and Friends is what shows up on The Daily Show, and they show up a lot.
Yes, they do. And that's my exposure to Fox, is what The Daily Show covers, which is a great show, and the only show I can actually get fucking news from anymore.
And hosted by a South African.
Yes, which he's been doing a great job
so
far.
He has been.
He's like 29 episodes in, and they've been great. They were like, because Captain America has a new enemy, and it's conservatives, and... To be clear to Fox News and anyone who's listening to this, the conservatives they're talking about is a group of terrorists called the Serpent Society.
The Sons of the Serpent.
The Sons of the Serpent. I'm sorry. The Serpent Society is a supervillain group.
The Serpent Society is a bunch of guys that have snake powers.
Yes. The Sons of the Serpent is like kind of like Marvel's KKK. They're a racist organization that's been around since like the 60s. The Avengers fought them. Black Panther fought them. Like, these guys are like... racists. They're not conservatives. They're racists.
Like, whoever created them, whether it was Roy Thomas or Archie Goodwin or Stan Lee, said, I'm going to do racism.
Yes.
Let me create some villains that are racist.
Yes.
And then I'll figure out that they have a snake thing going
right.
on.
Right. They were used in Daredevil about a year and a half ago during Mark Waid's run as racists. Run. Like, these guys are like...
Like, that's their thing. The snake thing is in the back.
It's secondary. They are... Their first thing is they're racists. They're the KKK of superheroes. So they go and patrol the border and shoot, like... border crossers, I don't know if they have a term, illegal immigrants, what do you want to call them? They shoot them, that's the thing. And Falcon shows up and he's defending them and he's like, I'm not gonna let you guys like carry out this like crazy bullshit murder.
Yeah, you've read the comic, right?
Yeah, I've been reading Captain America since Falcon's been Cap, and actually for since Brubaker's run, so I've been reading it for like 10 years.
So you read that crazy John Romita Jr.
Most of it. It's I really want to reread it as one volume because I feel like Remender reads much better in one sitting, but who can say? Anyway, so yes, I've been reading it the whole 10 years. I'm like as close as you can get to a Captain America expert, and I have a store which makes me an authority in my mind. So basically, he shows up to fight murderer, racist people, and then Fox News is like, yeah, they're conservatives. If you think murdering racists are conservatives, then you are a lunatic and shouldn't be, let alone on TV, you shouldn't be anywhere near a fucking microphone.
Or a computer.
Or a computer. You should probably be in a jail cell. So,
That's like...
And that's it. That's the issue. And Captain America...
That's like people saying Easy Rider is unfair to rednecks.
I don't know what Easy Rider is. It's missed reference. You need somebody more culturally.
The people that have seen Easy Rider,
they would get it.
They've gotten it by now.
But so Captain America takes a point of view in this comic, and he basically holds a press conference and says, like, they don't tell you what he says, but basically assume he says liberal things like, hey, we need to figure out immigration and stop being so crazy. And basically, like, watch The Daily Show, and those are the kinds of politics Captain America has, the Sam Wilson Captain America. And then they're like, Fox News is like, keep politics out of Captain America. Remember when Captain America used to just punch Hitler in the face? And it's like,
Politics.
That's politics. Because that was
he was the leader of Germany.
And he wasn't like punching Hitler because Hitler was like...
Well, he did on the cover.
No, he definitely punched Hitler, but he didn't punch him because, like, Captain America just punches world leaders. He punched him specifically...
He didn't punch FDR after that in the wheelchair.
He punched him specifically for his fascist political ideology. There's never... Captain America's always political. Remember a guy named Richard Nixon? Remember when when Richard Nixon shot himself in that Captain America story because he was like a Skrull or like an evil empire guy or whatever it was?
Or Sons of the Serpent.
Or Sons of the Serpent type film. He did a whole thing with Nixon. It's Captain America's always been a political character, and they've always been doing comics and politics. And it's interesting that Fox News wants to take politics out of comics when it's like they haven't taken their politics out of reporting the news. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, global warming's not real because Rupert Murdoch signs our checks. Fuck you guys. So,
well, here's the thing. Do you remember that 10 years ago? No, I'm sorry. It wasn't that long ago. It was about 8 years ago. Not 8 or 9 years ago. Fox News was saying that America had lost their way because Marvel had killed Captain America.
They blamed that on Captain America.
They said America has totally lost its focus because Marvel has even killed Captain America.
Oh, my God.
And that proves that the country's going down the tubes.
That's the
they
proof.
Did the same story after Civil War. The thing about Fox News is I never figured out, and I am a Fox News contributor.
Yes.
I have never figured out if they really believe the political angle they're doing or if they're just like, here's a demographic that no one is hitting.
And I think that's the trick of it is I don't know anyone that watches Fox News and takes it seriously except my crazy racist
angry old people.
Yes. And I think that's the demographic. But I get confused because I don't, and it could be my fault, that I don't know any racists who watch Fox News. Like, I don't know what else to call them at this point.
I don't know anyone as young as us that watches Fox News.
Yeah.
I do know.
And I know it's like the joke they always make.
I know several baby boomers that watch Fox News.
Yeah.
And there is this thing, as people grow older, they become more conservative.
I've heard this.
Well, because what it is that you're less adaptable than you used to be.
Okay.
You know, and you've been complaining that you're reaching 30 and you can't do the things you used to do.
Yeah.
So the older...
That's more that I'm out of shape, I think, than that I'm approaching. I think there's plenty capable 30 and over-year-olds that are just in shape because they exercise and don't eat ramen noodles five times a week.
But you know how when you talk to older people, they don't know what a podcast is?
Yes.
And you begin to explain it and they get angry.
I literally just had this... On Wednesday, I went out to dinner with my parents, and I was explaining to them Kickstarter. We're doing the Kickstarter for our comic, and it's going really crazy, ridiculously well, and thank you ever so much for everyone who's been a part of that, because I'm blown away. But they had no idea what Kickstarter was, and I had explained Kickstarter and then how that works, and then I told my dad that like a bunch of people gave me like a lot of money, and the amount of money like we're asking for, it's like $6,000, and we have like $5,000 of it, and his like jaw hit the floor. And he had no idea this was a thing. So I understand that there's a lot they don't know about. What I don't understand is like where my dad will say a comment every once in a while and you're just like, Dad, wait, you kind of just like wonder like, you didn't used to be a racist, right? And he's not like saying the N-word or running, but every once in a while he makes an offhand comment. You're just like, Dad, you can't say things like that anymore.
Well, I think what it is that the... only thing that humans really understand is change. Because you get used to things, you don't understand, like, you don't really understand, like, oh, I have money, I'm doing fine. Or I don't have money, I'm not doing fine. You kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in my 20s and I made $8,000 a year, I got used to it. And then now I have a family and a house and a career, and I'm used to that, and I don't feel much different than I did then. But I do feel when I get more money, and I do feel when more money is taken away.
Yes.
So I think what happens is you get used to certain things, which also I think explains the 1%. They're like, I have $1 billion. Why are you mad at me?
I don't...
And so, because they're just so used to having $1 billion that when somebody goes, dude, you got to give away like $600 million because the country's broke.
Yeah.
He's like, no, because that's like, then I'll have so much less than I did before. And people like us who don't have $1 billion, they're like, dude, that's like... 7 times what we'll ever have.
I will never probably in my life make that much money over the course of my life.
No.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's a whole thing.
Well,
because
I think to make that amount of money, your career has to be money.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
You can't make that money opening comic book stores.
Right. And that's why.
Storyboards.
Right. And that's why we have a class system. And, That's been interesting to me as we've talked about income equality and the 1% for a long time, is that the billionaires are kind of in a billionaire class, and they kind of have billionaire babies that grow up to be billionaire adults.
Yeah.
People don't really become billionaires, which is why...
Unless you're like the... you got to invent like Facebook or Kindle or something.
But that's why we're so interested in those people, the people that actually move through classes.
Yeah.
We're so interested in, and I think that's one of the reasons we're so focused on entertainers, because entertainers are the one real profession where you can go from being very poor to very, very rich. Larry David used to live in subsidized housing.
Yeah.
You know, before Seinfeld. Now, he's very, very rich.
Yeah.
You know, so we're very interested in that. We're interested in people that win the lottery, but we're learning that people who win the lottery or become Larry David, Larry David does not have Rupert Murdoch's money.
No.
Larry David does not have Donald Trump's money.
Yeah, there's definitely a higher, and that's like they always say, it's like 1%, and then it's like 0.0% or 0.01% of the 1%.
Of them, yeah.
Is like a whole other... class. But then I've seen like scientific studies where they're like, well, the difference between having like $125,000 a year and $200,000 a year doesn't increase in happiness or
no,
in
well,
what your
said,
habits are.
No, and in fact, they said there's a great documentary on, I think it's on Netflix. I saw it on PBS, but I believe it's on Netflix. It's called Happy.
Yeah.
And they put the amount that will make you happy.
What's the amount?
$75,000 a year.
Both my brothers, one's a lawyer in DC and the other's a fireman here in the suburbs. And they both are making around, I don't know if I should be saying this, they both are making around that money.
Okay.
And they both seem to be happy. Like, my brother hates, he works for the government, so he's a little miserable.
Well, they said at $75,000 a year, everything you need is taken care of.
Yeah.
So you're not occupied with, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to keep the heat on? How am I going to keep my car from breaking down?
Yeah.
You have that money. Anything over 75 doesn't make you any
it's all
happier.
Like superfluous.
Yeah.
I mean, you could totally buy all this crazy shit, but then, hey, that's the other thing you always see is like, there's some guy, he invented some fucking thing. Minecraft. You know what Minecraft is?
Yo, the kids are super into Minecraft. Ben is obsessed with Minecraft.
So
it's like this 8-bit game, which looks like an Atari game.
It's on the computer.
It's on everything. We have an Xbox 360 version of it.
Oh, okay.
There are action figures. There are Legos. There are cardboard cutout dolls. It's gigantic.
Yeah, and it's so one guy invented this and then got paid an obscene amount of money for it. And he is on Twitter, and I read an article about it the other day. Me and a buddy of mine were talking about it, that he's like on Twitter, and he's like, I'm at a party in Dubai, hot girls everywhere, blah, 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 all this shit, and I've never felt more alone in my entire life. And he's like depressed and miserable.
Right.
And he repeatedly goes on Twitter and talks about how, oh, I'm so depressed, I have all this money, I don't know what to do with myself. You have $1 billion, then what do you do? And it's like, anything you want, have your own space program.
But,
like,
that just proves that outside stuff doesn't do it. I always go back to that same story about Sting, was when they were in the police. Right at the moment they did Synchronicity, which I can see your eyes glazing over because you're not the music guy in the room, but they didn't. The album they did in '82 was their biggest album. It had King of Pain on it. It had Every Breath You Take. It had, like, everything was a ginormous hit. Songs that even you know that are still played at weddings.
Sure.
They broke up right after that album because they realized they had everything they ever wanted and they were still miserable. Because they didn't like each other.
Yeah.
That was the big... But that's the thing, is that you start to learn that outside stuff doesn't change anything. What it does is remove the wanting.
And that's probably coming from a place of living paycheck to paycheck my entire life.
Right.
But
you're consumed with that right now.
Yeah.
Your focus is the wanting. Your focus is, how do I get to the next month? How do I get to the next month? I'm at a place where like, I don't have all the money in the world. I have to worry about things.
Yeah.
But I was in your store today before we recorded it, and I'm looking at the Gotham figures.
Yeah.
And I have a very big Batman action figure collection, and I'm looking at it going, well, should I get these? I don't really like Gotham. I still watch it, but I don't really like them.
Yeah.
Should I get them? Should I not get them? If I get them or if I don't get them, I'll spend money that I could spend somewhere else or save.
Sure.
But it's not going to affect my budget.
Right.
And that's the difference. But the thing is, once you get to $1 billion, it's insurmountable for us, because it's like, well, why would you even care about, like, spending this money or not spending this money? So you know what? Spend the money and put it into the economy, which needs it.
And I think that's the thing I don't understand, is this guy's so rich. And it's one thing, you have a mortgage, you got a house and all this stuff. This guy's in his, like, 20s or 30s. And it's like, oh, I'm lonely, blah, blah, blah. All right, that is going to be tricky because you went and made $1 billion. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard to meet people.
It's going to be hard to trust anybody.
Totally. And that I can understand to an extent. Like, you kind of, everyone I think can understand people being friends with you just to get a thing or something. But what I don't understand is, like, I don't know what to do with myself. It's like, well, pick anything you want. Open a website where you just make people's dreams come true because you have $1 billion. This guy, you could do anything. Anything at all. Whatever you want. You want to...
But you know what? He probably has. He's probably done... Because if I had... You know, when I think about, like, if I had a lot of money...
Yeah.
Like, you, as we all do.
As everyone does. My roommate hates this conversation.
Honestly, well, she's very much an artist. What I would do is pay off my house. And it's like, that's all I would think, is pay off my house, and I wouldn't work at jobs that I don't like.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you know what I and I'd probably still do this podcast.
Yeah,
I'd probably write more than I do, but I'd probably still play in my band.
But totally. But here's the thing: $1 billion. I was like, what else do you want to do? Do you want to star in your own TV show? You have $1 billion, dude. Buy every TV show. You could just start. Buy a TV show that's existing and take over a role, over a right, do whatever you want.
But that's what you learn. I think that's what he's learning is if you're using that $75,000 rule.
Oh, like, if that's how you have, yeah.
Well, what's the point? You know, because like I said, going back to that Gotham analogy this week, and it's really, really awesome. It was almost my greatest thing in the world, but I have a different one. I got the Batman Animated Series Batmobile, which I bought from you, so it also helps you.
Let's look at the economy. This is how it works.
Yeah, small business owners. But you know what? I got it. I opened it up. It was great. I put it on the shelf. It'll probably stay on the shelf for years. Maybe I won't even look at it some days. Maybe it doesn't have as much of an impact as it used to.
Yeah.
Honestly, the best thing I got out of it was when I opened it, both my boys thought it was awesome and drove it around and had a great time. The other great memory is when you saw it, you put it on the floor drove it around.
The first thing I did was come in here and drive it around and go...
You drove it around the studio and chased my cat with it.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
But I guess we're saying, after spending 40 minutes on Star Wars, that money can't buy you happiness.
I guess that's what we're saying. But this guy could literally... He could literally make his own Star Wars movie. His own movie. He could
won't do, make him happy.
He could do the whole thing.
Didn't make Robin Williams happy.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't understand because if you don't like it, change it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying depression's not a thing or something. And I don't know what this guy's deal is, but it's like there's not a lot of problems I don't have that $1 billion wouldn't solve. There's not a lot of problems this country has that $1 billion wouldn't solve.
I don't know.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. There are $1 billion would solve a lot of problems.
A lot of problems. It would solve approximately 1 billion problems.
Okay, I have we're at 53 minutes. I have no segue for this at all. But
no,
I feel
what
like we need to talk about the Back to the Future Day.
Oh, yeah. This is stupid.
You know what? Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, they have money.
They're great and good for them. It's stupid, and here's why. Because it was just a day they picked, and everyone lost their minds, and it's still a thing that everyone's talking about on the internet. And it's like, I like the Back of the Future movies. I've seen them all dozens of times. Yeah, it's great. Oh, cool. There's that day. That was 2 days ago. Fucking who cares? I'm glad they had their appearance on the Tonight
this,
Show.
We're still talking about it. They were on Jimmy Kimmel, which is
great.
Really
I saw
fun,
the clip.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, and I'm glad to see Michael J. Fox is doing well or appears to be doing well, and Christopher Lloyd's still, you know, hanging in there and everything. That's great. Real glad. So glad they did a thing. But, like, what the fuck does everyone care about it all of a sudden? It's just a fucking day. They might as well have thrown a dart at a calendar and picked a day. It's just a fucking arbitrary number. Who gives a shit?
I think what happened was a couple of years ago, somebody photoshopped it and said it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's what primed everybody, because that went viral.
I remember that.
People were like, oh, it's the day, it's the day, it's the day. And then somebody was like, no, no, it's not the day. Look, here's the screenshot. It's actually a couple of years from now. And I think that put it in people's heads where they're like, oh, that means that day's coming. And
great.
I'm going to get really excited about that day. And honestly.
We didn't have like a party. Like
people did.
Elliot
Serrano was at a Back to the Future party.
And that's cool. He took that picture outside of the DeLorean with like a Doc Brown cosplay guy. That stuff, that's all great, but it's fucking Friday. That was 2 days ago. It's like the fucking, you know, and it's cool stuff lined up. Like the Cubs were almost in the World Series. Like, so stuff that movie talked about was almost reality. There was all those rumors that hoverboard was getting invented.
Right.
And those...
And that
Nike's
was the
got
joke.
Those shoes
and
that lace themselves.
That was the joke that I saw everywhere, and it was on Jimmy Kimmel, was everybody basically hit that same note of like, oh, they didn't know we'd have smartphones, but they thought we'd have flying cars.
Yeah.
But I think what it's done that surprised me was show me like how much people love those movies, because I'm like you, where I enjoy them. I own them. I have them all on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I don't watch them a lot, and I don't think about them a lot.
I disagree. I don't think it's showing how much people love those movies. I think it's showing how much people are jumping on like a bandwagon. It's the same thing. It's like a good example is like the Cubs are almost in the World Series or whatever. I don't really follow baseball. Everyone's a Cubs fan now, all of a sudden. And it's like the same thing when the Hawks go to the playoffs. Everyone's a Hawks fan.
It's just something fun to do.
Yes. And it's like, it seems to me that like I said, Chicago's got like half a dozen sports teams that are major sports teams. So anytime any of them are doing really good, people go nuts and, oh, we're all Hawks fans now. It's like, fucking no, we're not. And it's like, I'm glad that.
So we all think we're Back to the Future fans now?
And I think that's what everyone's doing. It's like, oh, I love those movies. Oh, great. When was the last time you saw it? Oh, it's been 15 years. If you haven't seen that movie in 15 years, you're not like a big fan of that movie. It's a movie you enjoyed, and that's fine.
Yeah,
you
I don't know anyone that it's their favorite movie. I mean, I feel like it's a movie everybody likes, but like...
They're good movies. It's a good trilogy.
If I go back to that era of big budget comedies, I like Ghostbusters more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think people talk about Ghostbusters more.
Totally. And like you said, nothing against those movies. I like the idea of time travel. I like time travel fiction.
They do it really well.
There's a lot of cool things about
that movie. You can never take that movie away from me because that movie introduced me to Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
And I am never giving up that ghost.
Even the thing
she was on The Muppets a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And she's in her 50s. Just national treasure.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, even like they were making the jokes like the bad guy, Biff, it looks like Donald Trump. Great. These are all great, funny. Ha ha. Look how much close it was. Those are great jokes. But it's Friday. That was like 3 days ago. And it's all anyone's still talking about. And I just it's the same thing. I'm just like there's a piece of my brain that isn't connected to whatever the fuck everyone else is so interested about. Or it's like I'm out of the joke or something.
You're wrong there. It is not all people are talking about. People are also being racist towards Star Wars.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. I watched a great movie last night. In fact, it's so good I think I might buy it. What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
It is, I've been hearing about this movie for a couple of years. And I've been wanting to see it, and it finally arrived on disc, and I got the disc from Netflix. But Jemaine Clement, who is one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords, yes. He was also the alien in Men in Black 3.
That guy is great.
Yeah, he is great. He just did a Rick and Morty this season.
Which one?
He was the floating gas that sang about the moon men.
Like the fart cloud guy?
Yes.
The name Fart? That was, that was him.
He's like, goodbye, moon man.
Yeah.
He was doing his Bowie. He's been wanting to do this movie for 10 years.
Okay.
So they did it as a short film. It was him and, Taika Waititi, who is another guy in New Zealand. They made this movie completely in New Zealand, but Taika Waititi is a name that we will hear again on this podcast because not only did he direct a few episodes of Flight of the Conchords, but he is going to direct Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, okay, cool.
They just hired him for this. And judging from this movie, it's going to be great. So what we do in the show is low-budget film, and they did a short film, and it's 10 years ago, and they said they kept thinking about it, and went back and made it a feature. But it's a horror comedy, and it's about four vampires that live in a house in New Zealand.
I mean, I'm sold on the concept alone.
Yeah, and Jemaine is one of...
He's a vampire?
Yeah, Jemaine is one of the vampires.
That's awesome.
And Taika Waititi is in it as one of the vampires.
Okay.
And then there's a third one. And then they have a Nosferatu in the basement who doesn't talk at all. They just go down and they kind of like open his coffin and talk to him about like cleaning his room. And he goes, ah! And then they go back up. And it's very much like The Office where it's a documentary where they're talking directly to the camera.
Yeah.
And making jokes, and it fits, it's goofy, and it's got a lot of great one-liners. I hate to spoil it, but there's a great, Jemaine Clement does do a great one-liner where they ask, he goes, people always ask why we want to bite virgins. And, you know, it's like, if you eat a sandwich, you would like it a little more if no one had fucked it. On that joke alone, I was like, I'm seeing this
movie.
Sounds
awesome.
It's great. But it's also like Shaun of the Dead, where there's a storyline that runs through it, which is actually really solid. And you follow the characters, and they have character arcs, even though it's all like documentary-type footage. The special effects are really well done. There's, you know, there's blood, and there's flying, and there's turning into bats.
Yeah.
But it still looks documentary-like.
Oh, nice.
You can tell there's special effects, but they don't call a lot of attention to it. And I was actually listening to the commentary, and they said that Peter Jackson lent them all the green screen. sets.
Oh, because
while he was making The Hobbit, because they made it in New Zealand.
Did they make it around the same time as The Hobbit was made? This came out like a couple years ago.
This came out, I think it came out last year, and it took a while to get to America. And when it got to America, it just played the indie theaters and it did the festivals. Now the disc is out.
Okay.
And I've been waiting for it to be streaming on Netflix, and I would see articles that, like, it's coming to Netflix in October. I was like, great. And then I found out it was Netflix UK. And I was like, well, maybe it's coming soon. And then finally I was like, you got the disc. I really want to see this movie. And it completely did not disappoint.
That's awesome. That's always good to see when you hype, kind of like hype a movie up, you're really excited to see it, and then it's actually like delivered.
And especially when it's a weird little indie movie where it's like there's guys you like, and Flight of the Conchords took a while for me to get. Like, I write it off as hipster humor when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And then I started to warm up to it. So I like Jermaine. And Taika Waititi has done a lot of Flight of the Conchords, so I thought it would have that feel.
So he's just a director from... He's a New Zealand director.
He's a New Zealand director.
Who directed a lot of those episodes.
Yeah, and he's worked with them for a long time. So I think they brought him with them when they got the HBO show.
Yeah.
But he directed this and acts in it. And as I said, I think this film... Marvel likes to get... They like to get... really talented, cheap directors.
Because they figure, all right, if we're going to hire this guy to do maybe three or four movies.
Yeah. Have you seen any of James Gunn's other movies?
Yeah.
They're cheap horror movies.
Yeah.
They're good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Super was weird.
Was
it
Wriggle or something? What did he do?
Slither.
Slither, that's
Slither's what I'm thinking of. Slither's really good. It's got Nathan Fillion and Michael Rooker in it.
Right.
And I think Elizabeth Banks. But... it's really, really funny, and it has a character. Rhys Darby shows up, who is the manager in Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
And he shows up as a werewolf.
That guy's awesome.
And there's a whole subplot about the werewolves, which is so brilliant. There's a laugh-out-loud line in that I will not mention.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the trailer when we finish recording,
because
that's on YouTube, and I'll probably post it. Like I said, I loved it so much that I did not want to send the disc back, so I'm watching the extras in the commentary. I looked at it last night on Amazon. You can buy the Blu-ray for $15, and I was like, "This is a movie I probably won't watch over and over now, but next Halloween,
oh yeah,
I'm gonna want to watch it."
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't think for a long time what I've been doing other than working for like the last 12 days. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, and I'm going to butcher all these names because they're Japanese. But I found Akira a couple years ago, and I think we've mentioned this when Joe's been on the podcast
before. The comic or the film?
The comic. I've seen the film since, but the comic. And, I finally got, it's 6 volumes is the newest printing, all in newsprint, like black and white. And I finally got the 6th volume just because I saw it on the shelf and it had been there for a while. And I was like, oh, I don't have this. I should start reading this again. And it's one of those books where it's so dense. Like, this is easily thousands and thousands of pages of comics. So it's kind of hard to remember where I left off because it was 3 years ago probably since I've read the last
one.
So it's
kind of like reading a run more than reading a graphic novel.
Yeah, well, it's to my understanding, this is how Japanese comics are, where it's very drawn out, where it's very like, you know, we might do 12 issues of, or 6 issues for Dark Knight Returns or whatever. But Japanese comics, they'll do 50 issues or 60 issues.
So it's like reading all of Sandman.
Yes, but it's the story is just, you know, it's maybe a couple months or maybe even a year at the most for how long the story takes place. So it's just like every single moment it's like totally.
Yeah, and their market is like what they usually put out would look like trade paperbacks to us, but that's.
Yeah.
They don't put out 22 page books.
Right. These are huge. And so it's kind of unique in that sense. But this guy that draws it, like I said, I'm going to butcher the name. It's like Kari Suma Sama something, Otomo or something like this. And this guy's like a national treasure over there. And he is like, you read this stuff and this guy can draw anything. It's all in this like dystopian Tokyo where it's like it's been destroyed and there's all these buildings falling over and rubble, and then there's all this like telekinetic guys running around with like superpowers and the army and these like, I mean, this guy draws like an aircraft carrier and it looks like a fucking photograph. And he did this all in like the 80s, I want to say, or maybe the late 70s. And it's just like, it's probably the single greatest work of graphic fiction that's ever been produced. And I'm open to arguments to say that that's different.
But you stand behind everything you've ever said.
I absolutely do. And this is something just for the sheer volume and the quality of the draftsmanship. I don't know any other comics that have this kind of volume and are drawn this well.
Well, you can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter. That is the Caffeinated Comics Facebook. No, that is not the Facebook feed. It's the Twitter feed. That's Come late. On. I got you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
But we do have a Facebook page, and you can you can like that, and you can go to that and like that, and we post news all week and then let you know when the podcast is out. You can listen to us on Stitcher if you don't like iTunes. You can listen to us on iTunes if you don't like Stitcher. You can go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com if you hate all podcast providers. But we're here every week and pretty much every day. Steven is...
just about as 19 South LaGrange Road at Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!